Greetings in the name Yahweh, the only name under heaven, given among men whereby we must be saved. This is Brother Arnold with the Repair the Breach broadcast, Restore the Past to Dwell In. We've been preaching and teaching that there's only one name under heaven you can be saved by, and that there's salvation in none other. Of course, the prophet Joel in 2:32 said, in the last days whoever calls on the name YHWH, Yahweh, shall be delivered or saved. So that is the saving name. And we're blessed to have my pastor, Brother Matthew Jensen, with us tonight. It's very rare we can get him on here, but you there, Brother Matthew?
In the flesh.
we got him in the flesh. There he is. Well, that's good. You know, well, don't know what we're going to talk about. Of course, I guess we're going to talk about Scripture, but I had something particular in mind if Brother Matthew wasn't on here. Now Brother Matthew's on here, I don't know what we're going to talk about. But, you know, I was going to make mention, Brother Matthew, I can go right quick. You know how the Scripture teaches that in Matthew, people says that he said he came not to destroy the law, he came not to destroy it, but to fulfill. And I think that's in Matthew
17.
Yeah, okay. Well, then, prophet said, well, see there, he fulfilled the law. Like, fulfill means destroy or done away with it. But when you look over in Matthew 3:15, he says, suffer to be so, you know, when he came to be baptized of John the Baptist. And John said, I need to be baptized of you, Master. He said, John, suffer to be so that we fulfill all righteousness. Okay, well, that word fulfill is the same as the word fulfill over there. It don't mean destroy all righteousness. So, my point is this. People, they don't rightly divide the word of truth. That's what I'm trying to say. And listen to this. Let me call a couple more right quick. Romans 8:4 says, the righteousness of the law be fulfilled in us. That means done in us, you know, not done away with, same word. Then Romans 13:10, it clearly says, love worketh no ill toward his neighbor. Think about it. Love worketh no ill toward his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Why is love the fulfilling of the law? Because it worketh no ill toward his neighbor. In other words, love, you won't kill, steal, commit adultery against your neighbor, or any of these things. So therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law, or doing of the law. Fulfill don't mean destroy. And then you got Matthew 8:17, and all kind of scriptures says that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophets. In other words, done, fulfilled. So, but they want to say that the law has been done away with, but Romans 13:10, when it says, love worketh no will, therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. In other words, it tells you why love worketh no ill, because it fulfills the law. In other words, you don't kill, steal your neighbor and all of that, you know, steal from them. But go ahead, brother. You talk about this or whatever you want to talk about.
Well, this is one of the most devious doctrines going around in the church world today, that the law's been done away with. It's one of the more damning doctrines to people, because it teaches them that they don't have to have an obedient life. I want to go back to Matthew 5:17 here for a second, where I'm quoting the King James Version. He says, think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I tell you, which the word verily means truly, truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle of the law shall pass, until all be accomplished or fulfilled. And a lot of people quit reading right there. whosoever of you breaks the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But if you practice and teach these commandments, you will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 20, he says, unless your righteousness exceed or surpass the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. So, in order for us to be called great in the kingdom, we have to fulfill the law. Matthew 5:19. If we practice even the least of the commandments, and we teach others to practice even the least, you know, to the greatest, we'll be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So, Matthew 5:17 teaches us that the Messiah fulfilled the law. Fulfilled means to accomplish, to do, to practice it. One place in the King James Version, in Romans, I think it's in Romans 16, that same Greek word for fulfill is translated fully preach. Fully preach. So you could translate it like that in Matthew 5:17. But we are also called to fulfill the law according to Matthew 5:19. And this is what our Messiah told the rich young ruler when he came to him. And the rich young ruler said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Messiah said, you know, first he said, "Why does thou call me good? There's not none good but one, that's Yahweh." But he said, "But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments."
Right.
So, keep the commandments. And that goes back to Deuteronomy 28. He says, "I set before you this day life and death, good and evil." He said, "Choose life." And life was that we would choose to obey the commandments of Yahweh. And it's all through the Bible. The whole Bible is really about obedience to the commandments of Yahweh.
Well, you know, the scripture clearly teaches that the law is righteous, holy, and just, it says. Why would somebody want to do away with something that's righteous, holy, and just? Where is that where it talks about, don't lose my thought, how it talks about as many as are of the law, it says in King James, are really out of the law or under a curse.
Galatians 3.
Next verse says, "For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the law to do it." In other words, people that ain't doing the law are under the curse of sin and death. Because the Bible definition of sin is transgression of the law. What is that, James?
1 John 3:4.
So if I want to find out how to sin, what the Bible definition of sin is, then I got to find out what the law says and then transgress it. For sin is to transgress the law. That's what sin is. And all unrighteousness, lawbreaking is unrighteous, and it says all unrighteousness is sin.
That's right, Brother Arnold.
I just don't understand why a preacher would try to teach somebody to not keep the law and that it's done away with, and with all the scripture. And you know yourself that he said it's better if they had a millstone tied around their neck and cast into the sea than offend one of these little ones. The word offend means cause to sin. In other words, cause them to break the law or tell them it's done away with, and, you know, therefore causing them to transgress it.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's one thing, you know, if you ever run up against some adversity here, somebody that says, "Well, the law's been done away with," ask them if they believe that sin has been done away with. Because if the law has truly been abolished, then that would mean
sin of is it?
That would mean that sin would have to be abolished, because sin is the breaking of Yahweh's law.
Well, then there wouldn't be nothing to repent of if there's no sin.
Yeah, and therefore there'd be no reason for grace, because you wouldn't have any.
Well, what if I were to say to you, "Well, Brother Matthew, the law is bondage. We're under grace."
Well,
you ever heard that before?
Yeah, I have heard. Yes, many times. Number one, we always need to make sure we have a Bible verse or verses, at least one verse, to prove our position. And I don't know of any verse that would teach that the law itself is bondage. Now, I believe that we are under bondage because of our disobedience to the law, and that's where grace and mercy comes in, you know, that Yahweh gives us through the Messiah. But the law itself is definitely not bondage. few passages to substantiate this. Psalm 119, verse 45, the psalmist David said, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. So liberty is found in seeking the precepts, that is, the commandments of Yahweh. We find in the Exodus from Egypt that in Exodus 20, verses 1 through 2, Yahweh brings the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, come out of the house of bondage. So the bondage was where they were at. They were in Egypt, and they were in bondage while they were in Egypt. And he brought them out and delivered them from that bondage and gave them the Ten Commandments there at Mount Sinai. Obviously, not to place them back into bondage, but to liberate them from the bondage that they had already been in Egypt. So the law itself brings life, liberty. What is it, Proverbs 3? It says, my son, keep my commandments for length of days, long life, and peace shall they add unto thee. That sounds like bondage.
No, he said also that it's health to your navel and marrow to your bones. You know, he said it was free from the law of sin and death. The law breaking brings death, sin, and death. And so he delivered us from the curse of the law.
Absolutely.
Because the curse of the law was death. When he died on the tree for our sins, and we don't supposed to continue in sin or law breaking, that grace may abound. He said, you know what, forbid.
That's right. We should have a sense of gratitude, a sense of, you know, what can I do for this kindness that's been showed to me. I often give this analogy to people. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you've not, those of you that are listening, but if you owed a $10,000 fine or something with a local county or state, and you had disobeyed a government law, and you owed this $10,000 fine, you just didn't have the money to pay it, and somebody walks up when you're in court and taps you on the shoulder and says, listen, here's $10,000, you don't owe me anything, I'm giving this to you as a gift of grace. You pay your fine. With this money, and you accept that money as a gift of grace there, and you pay that fine, the response to that gift should be that you're not going to go back out and rack up or, you know, whatever you did to incur that fine. You're not going to continue to do that anymore after this person that you didn't even know had grace upon you and gave you this money. That's not the right response. The response would be, I'm going to do my best not to get myself in this situation again, because look how much love this person showed me. And let's move from that analogy to the scriptures. Look how much love Yahweh showed us, the Father. A lot of times the Father gets put on the back burner, but John 3:16, it says, for Yahweh, King James says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So Yahweh loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son to die on the torture stake for our sins, and our response should be, well, man, what can we do to show our gratitude and our appreciation to this gift, this free gift of grace that we've received from the Father? And it's very simple. And Paul taught this too in Romans 3:31, where he talks about faith, justification by faith, all through Romans 2 and 3, and that we're not justified by works, but by faith apart from works. But in verse 31 of Romans 3, he says, do we then make void the law through this faith that I'm speaking about? He said, God forbid, may it never be we establish the law. Some translations say we make the law stronger.
Right, we establish it. We don't do away with it. Well, like you said, the man taps you on the back and gives you $10,000 and pays your debt, just, you know, by grace and mercy. That ain't a license to continue in sin. That grace may abound, because, you know, we just trample on this blood again, you know, the foot of the Messiah. So it's not a license to sin.
That's right, brother. That's right. Romans 6, verse 1, should we therefore continue in sin that grace may abound?
Romans 2:13, the Apostle Paul himself said there, for not the hearers of the law are just before Yahweh, but the doers of the law shall be justified. In other words, if you're going to be justified in Yahweh's sight, you got to do the law. Even though the law, by the deeds of the law, he goes on to say, shall no flesh be justified. He's not contradicting himself. In other words, keeping the Sabbath or anything what we do ain't what justifies. We're justified reason. But we do these things because we are saved. That ain't what saved us. It sounds like an oxymoron, but it's not. It organizes. Let me give us a phone number and text somebody if we want. We'll keep talking, but we'll give us a phone number and somebody might want to call and disagree or agree or add to it. But the phone number, we're on here live, is 770-483-8542. Give us a call, 770-483-8542. In case you may have a question for Brother Matthew or myself, or you may have a words of exhortation. That's 770-483-8542. Go ahead, Brother Matthew.
I'm just going to say the keeping of the law is the evidence. It's not the cause. It's the effect or the evidence that we have been saved. Salvation, Ephesians 2 verse 8, and many, many other passages of Scripture, teach that salvation is of Yahweh. It's a work of Yahweh and not of man at all. So we're not saved by any works of righteousness that we've done, but by searching His grace.
So we can't boast of anything. Go ahead.
We can't boast. If we boast, we have to boast in Him.
Right.
He's the reason that we're saved. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where he says, there's not many mighty, not many noble according to the flesh. He says, him that boasteth, let him boast in Yahweh. So the works that we do of righteousness, which they have to be there because they show forth evidence that salvation's really taken place. And that's why Paul wrote there, I think, at one of the epistles to the Corinthians at the end of it, he said, examine yourselves to see whether or not you're really in the faith. So we examine our lifestyle, and we see if we're showing forth the proper evidence that we've truly been saved. I heard it put like this one time. You have these light bulbs. I'm looking at my light bulbs here in my home right now, and the light that is shining forth from the bulb, that's evidence that I'm plugged into my electric source. The light itself is not why it's shining. The light is the effect of the cause. The cause is I'm plugged into the county electricity or whatever have you. But that light shows me evidence that I've got a good plug in here. Everything's working fine. And so that's how our works are to be looked at. It works, follow true living faith. Paul, when he talks about this and he teaches on this, he goes back to Genesis. He goes back to the Scriptures, to Abram. And we see in Genesis 15 that Abram or Abraham was justified by faith. Yahweh told him he's going to give him a seed, a chosen seed, and make his descendants numerous. Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was counted to him or imputed to him as righteousness, his belief, faith. He trusted in Yahweh. He didn't do any works. But then we see, as we continue to read in Genesis, we see that works follow that faith that Abraham had. The works didn't come prior to the faith or at the same time as the faith, but they follow that faith that Abraham had, which proved that Abraham's faith was a true living faith.
Right.
James wasn't says, just the faith of the demons that James talked about, or the faith of like a body without a spirit. No, it was a living faith.
Right. James says, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, I'll show you I believe. I'll quit eating swine's flesh. I'll keep lunar Sabbaths. I'll do what the Scripture teaches. Now, you know, you mentioned the light bulb a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right before he said, think not that I come to destroy the law, the verse before that, he says, let your light so shine that men may see your good works. The good works, he's talking about law-keeping, honoring your father and mother, keeping the Sabbath, don't steal, and all that, because he says, out of the very next breath, think not that I come to destroy the law. Don't even think it. I come not to destroy, but to accomplish, fulfill, or do it. So we have to do it too. In other words, let your light so shine that men may see your good works or see your law keeping. That's in
right.
Where's that located?
That's let your light so shine. Is that what you're asking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Matthew 5:16.
Yes, you need to read that, people, because right in the same context, he's talking about the light that's sit on a hill and it's to be shined and be seen around. It's law keeping. But they're trying to put the light out, Brother Matthew, these hireling preachers that are love of money and desires of vainglory and whatever their hidden agenda might be. But we've got to tell the people the truth. If you want to be saved, you got to keep these commandments. Because sin is just says, right. He said his commandments are not grievous.
That's right. Yeah. The odds are, you look at Matthew 7, and the Messiah gives us major warnings there in verses 15 through 20. He says, you know the tree by the fruit that it bears. Every tree that bringeth forth bad fruit is a corrupt tree. And every tree that bringeth forth good fruit is a good tree. But notice, why does it bring forth good fruit? Because it's a good tree. Why does it bring forth corrupt fruit? Because it's a corrupt tree. So, but you know the tree by the fruit that it bears. And that's how we can know people. So, let me say this, and I say it gently, but I do say it firmly for those that are listening. The odds are, if you claim to be in the faith, if you claim to be a believer for a lengthy period of time, let's say 5 years, if you're not graduating, if you're not constantly getting further and further in your obedience, the odds are you're probably not saved. You're probably not born from above. Now, I'm not saying, and I think Brother Arnold will agree with this, I'm not saying that it's just the overnight, maybe with some people it will be, but I'm not saying that in every case it's just an overnight change. I think it's a gradual change. We learn and we grow and we keep more commandments as we progress. I know all the commandments that I keep now, some of them were given to me a year at a time. You know, I'm when I first came into the faith, I kept Sabbath on Saturday for 2 years, but I was faithful in the little things, and Yahweh gave me the greater things.
He committed to free calendar. True riches to you then, because you were faithful in unrighteous mammon. But go ahead.
That's right. And so as I grew, and I'm still growing, it's going to be until I die, I'm going to grow as I learn, and I read the scriptures, and I study, my grow, and I keep more and more commandments. I heard a story one time about a man that he studied the Bible and he loved to obey the Father. Somebody called him up one time and asked him what he was doing, and he told him he was looking for another commandment to obey. So that's how we need to be. We constantly need to be looking in the scriptures for more commandments to keep and pray as the psalmist David did. He said, Father, hide me not from thy commandments. Reveal to me my hidden faults. So, keep that in mind. If you examine yourself and use the book of 1 John. 1 John is a series of tests to see whether or not you're really born from above. And if you go through 1 John and you don't pass each of those tests that 1 John gives us, then you're probably not saved. You're probably not born of the Spirit.
Well, it does teach in one verse, it says, examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith or not. And you know, not know you not your own self, lest you be reprobate. You can search yourself and see if you're keeping His commandments. Or the Bible said, if we keep His commandments and do those things pleasing to Him, Brother Matthew, He said, ask what you will, and it'll be done. He said, if He spared not His own Son, but offered Him up, how much more will He freely give you all things? You know, if we'll do those things that's pleasing to Him and keep His commandments. You know, He didn't want to go to that tree like when you was ministering the other day at the service. You know, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. He knew that was going to hurt people. He knew. He had some idea of what that would feel like, driving them nails in his hands and feet and torturing him and going through beatings and stuff and going to die. The death of a torture stake there, the Roman. It was probably well known throughout that area. It was a terrible way to go. And he said, but nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thine be done. He done it for us out there. We don't trample through that blood again. And had it happened yesterday or today, you think you would willfully walk through that blood to commit them sins and transgressions? Well, it actually happened, even though it was a couple thousand years, more or less, ago. It happened, just like the flood. It happened. And we don't continue in sin. He done it for us. And we owe it to ourselves and our families to search the scriptures and see if these things be so or not. I want to give because Chase, I get excited and forget, I'm going to go ahead and give my website, Brother Matthew. You know how I feel, because I've got a good memory, it's just short. But while I'm thinking about it, the website, and you can go over to Brother Matthew's website from there, where it says Ministers of New Covenant, but go to our website at lunarsabbath.info. That's I-N-F-O, lunarsabbath.info. And look, check our articles out on Lunar Sabbaths and different articles and things that Brother Matthews wrote on his site. And if you find something that's not right, let us know. We'd be glad to change it or either show you where it's right. But we don't care. We don't got no man paying our salaries. We work and labor with our own hands. And we don't got no hidden agendas. And we just, it's just been put on us. And just like the Lunar South Side and his appointments and his calendar, I've been obsessed with it for the last, going on 12 years. You know, it's just something we do. He makes us love to do it, and he puts it in us to do it, and we earnestly contend for the faith. And if you show us where we're wrong, we don't care about changing. Brother Matthew might kick a little bit, but you know, I'm just teasing. But you know, we'd be glad to change. You just gotta give us the scripture. To see, it's not our church, it's not our assembly, it's Yahweh's assembly.
That's so right.
You know, we'll get our reward, Brother Matthew. We'll get our reward. Yeah. We're not looking for no reward here. You believe what we're preaching, you go tell somebody.
That's well, right, Brother Arnold. You know, I was looking at the other day, I was doing a little bit of studying on the titles that in the King James Version of bishops and deacons, and really that's really not supposed to be in our English Bibles. Those are more transliterations rather than translations of common words. But just for sake of time, I'm just going to center in on the word deacon. The words deacon and minister are equivalent in the Greek and the Latin and the English language, and they all mean a servant. When you look it up, it means one who serves. When you have these people that they get elected into offices like deacon, and they're desirous of vain glory so they can have a title on their name. But how many ministers do you know that would want to be called Servant Smith or Servant Jones?
That's right. Same way in politics, Brother Matthew. It parallels. You get them in there, they want to lord over Yahweh's heritage and extract money out of them and be the masters, you know. But he said the least among you, the greatest among you is going to be the one that serves.
That's right. That's exactly right. And it's not that way with the nations, but it's that how it's going to be with us. So that's very important that, we can't prideful. And that's one of the things when you listen to people, when Brother Arnold has this podcast, you need to make sure that you don't answer a matter before you hear it. I know that there's probably been some things, even that we've said tonight, that may have thrown up some red flags in your mind. But be a Berean, Acts 17, 10 through 11. You take everything we say and you go back and you research and check it out. Please do not just brush it off. Don't brush it off. You
right, search and see
matter before you hear it.
Yeah, it's not wise. Search and see if it's so or not. And you, I know you've probably been taught like we was taught. But you need to find out what thus says the word of Yahweh. You need to find out what the scripture teaches. Scripture don't teach the lost and done away with.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And the Messiah didn't teach it, and none of his followers. They were all legalists. You know, you say, well, legalists, they put a bad word on that, but if you're not a legalist, you're an illegalist. And I don't say legalist in a bad sense. I believe we're law keepers. We're commandment keepers. That's what we are. Just like Peter and Paul.
Right.
Yeah, and the rest of them.
That's right.
Anyhow, his commandments are not grievous, people, and we would admonish you. People worrying about what things are coming on the earth, and I guess rightfully so, but if you're really worried about it, you need to make no provisions for the flesh, but you need to try to get that spirit right. You need to try to make sure you're righteous or in right standing. That's what righteous is. You want to be in right standing with the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. Hey, and if he be for you, who can be against you? Hey, then we can say, let not your heart be troubled. I tell you what, it's a good feeling. You'd be like Hezekiah. He, the prophet Isaiah, he said, you go tell Hezekiah to get his house in order, you're going to die and not live. Well, it's bad enough to die but not live. I may be talking about in the resurrection. But you're going to die and not live. So Isaiah told him, just to make it real short, and he went in there and said, Yahweh, thus saith Yahweh, Hezekiah, get your house in order, you're going to die and not live, boy. Well, he went, turned around, and Isaiah was headed back out. Before he got out in the outer court there, Hezekiah had done turned his face to the wall. He said, Father Yahweh, he said, I have kept your commandments, and I've done your statutes and judgment. My house is in order. Hey, he said, Isaiah, you know, spoke to him before we got out there, Brother Matthew. He said, you go back in there and tell this guy I heard that, and I get 15 more years to his life. So that's the way we need to be, Brother Matthew. We need to say, you know, I've kept your commandments. Then you can ask what you will, let not your heart be troubled. Listen, our time is just about come and gone. Let me give my website and phone number. If you want free literature, you can call Brother Arnold as soon as this broadcast is over. Air code is 770-483-8542. That's 770-483-8542. And the website is lunarsabbath.info. Brother Matthew, you want to give your cell phone or number out there? Just call what?
No, if you want to read anything that I've written or any sermons that I taught, you can go to ministersnewcovenant.org. That's ministersnewcovenant.org. And there's a contact page there where you can call me on my telephone or send me an email. I'd be glad to answer any questions that anybody might have. And
just ask for Bishop Matthew or Servant Matthew. Servant Matthew or Servant Arnold. We came to serve without the Messiah. And look, folks, we don't care. Hey, we just passing through. Brother Matthew and I just passing through here. We purposed in our heart to just tell it like it is and try to be open-minded. If somebody's got something, bring it on. Don't be ashamed to disagree with us. We didn't get no phone calls, so I guess everybody agrees, or either they mesmerized or something. But anyhow, our time, Brother Matthew's come and gone. I don't want to get into somebody else's time. Let's see what time it is. Yep, right on the dot. 10 o'clock. Listen, folks, next week, now you can hear us again at Friday night at 10:30 instead of 9:30. Come on, 9:30. WWRB. And we'll be preaching the same thing. Our message don't change. We'll be preaching the same thing. I'll probably be talking about something, Lunar Sabbath or something. But listen, till next week, may Yahweh bless you. Shalom.